Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And I thought of sharing my faith like going to the dentist.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Ashley Holloman.
Well, once or twice a year, I probably should do that. But something bad is going to happen, and it probably will hurt. And I think, I don't know if we've intended to do it or not, but in the church, at least in the West, we say, yeah, we all know this is bad and hard to do. No one wants to do it. Go do it anyway. And what we've discovered is, no, this is a great thing to do.
Yeah.
God is, as Heather said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. It's this grand invitation that we get to be on adventure with Jesus. He's doing the heavy lifting. Can we just join him in it and see God unfold beautiful things?
More from Ashley Holloman about drawing others to Jesus at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidstatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Susanna Luthi. This is Free Talk California. Later on in the hour, we will be joined again by Greg Burt from the California Family Council. If you listened last week, he was our guest. I usually don't do rapid repeat guests. However, right after our show, he texted me a few items that we hadn't gotten to, and they're very important. Basically, the state of California obviously has been really ramping up pretty radical rules for our children and our teachers in the public schools. And Greg's organization and some others have basically tallied up the rights that we do have, regardless of what state law, it does not trump constitutional rights. And just reviewed everything that we might expect next year. One of the laws that just took effect is the mandate for schools to install mixed sex restrooms. And Greg will go into all of that, but that's law now. That's what your kids can expect when they go back to school. So anyway, he's going to run all of that by us and give us some clues on what we can do. Because this is what happens when half of Republicans don't vote. Just makes the task that much harder when the laws do pass. All right. I don't know if any of you tuned into the Fauci hearing after my little preview last week. I did, but only for about 5 minutes. And then I realized that we weren't going to learn anything. Should have known that. Should have predicted it. Fauci just claimed the fifth and said he didn't want to incriminate himself. I was kind of curious after this because I thought it looked really bad. But, you know, I'm out of the D.C. bubble. So I thought, what is the D.C. bubble saying? What are my former colleagues saying? So I just kind of did a quick Google of the news. And I picked the CNN article, and it was kind of funny. It was written by two of my former colleagues who I considered good friends. Obviously, they had a very different reaction to Fauci and the pandemic than I did, although one of them, we used to meet up in a park, and she'd wear a mask, and then the mask would come off. But anyway, these colleagues of my former colleagues of mine are now at CNN, and it just looked like nothing had changed. Nothing had changed in their coverage, or at least what their editor required. So the story referred to Fauci as the retired government scientist who guided the U.S. COVID-19 pandemic response across two administrations. And he said they described Rand Paul as very hostile, I should say. They said the committee chairman, Senator Rand Paul, has since vowed to force a vote next week, holding Fauci in contempt of Congress over his refusal to testify, extending a years-long investigation aimed at validating his and other Republicans' belief that Fauci orchestrated a cover-up of the origins of the coronavirus. Yet in the meantime, the hearing that Paul had touted as an opportunity to get long elusive answers about the COVID crisis only appeared to deepen sharp partisan divisions that have scarred the U.S. for more than 6 years and make Fauci a political lightning rod. It goes on to quote Fauci saying, praising his opening statement as blistering statement before he invoked his Fifth Amendment rights, arguing that Paul's, quote, obvious obsession with calling for my prosecution, close quote, justified his refusal to speak, gave him a quote there. And then this was the killer line for me. Despite refusing to answer any questions, Fauci appeared frustrated on several occasions with Republicans' accusations, including that he had guided infectious disease research that led to the COVID-19 pandemic, a charge without evidence that he has denied in the past. All right, so let's look at this charge without evidence. I am going to cheat a little bit and use an article by Matt Taibbi of Racket News. Matt Taibbi was a Rolling Stone reporter who has done amazing investigative work subsequently when he went independent. And his news site, Racket News, is actually now edited by Emily Kopp. She was a Capitol Hill reporter, health reporter when I was, and she, unlike me, very bravely at her mainstream news organization during COVID, really, really went after the lab leak theory openly. And then not surprisingly, not too long, she quit that job. I knew that colleagues were really rolling their eyes at her. And she worked as an investigative reporter for a nonprofit looking for evidence on the COVID origins. And now she edits Matt's site. So let's look at this claim of without evidence. So reminder, COVID-19 is a bat virus that can't infect bats. It can't infect bats because its viral genome was inserted with 12 nucleotides to create something called a furin cleavage site. And this made the virus lose all transmissibility for bats, but made it very transmissible to humans. As former CDC Director Bob Redfield wrote, if you remove the furin cleavage site, there is no pandemic. All right, so either COVID-19 went through some organic mutation that completely changed its nature, took it out of the bat world and put it into the human world, or it was scientists who ended up inserting the cleavage site. To quote one of the most hostile scientists, Dr. Christian Anderson, the lab escape version is so friggin' lightly because they were also already doing this work. All right. And Matt quoted a virologist from a few years ago who told him, if someone proposes to insert a furin cleavage site in a bat coronavirus in Wuhan, and then 1 year later, we see a bat coronavirus with a furin cleavage site in Wuhan that is highly unlikely to be a natural event. Then we go back all the way back to 2011 when Fauci wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post arguing for gain-of-function research, saying that everything's going to be fine. This is very important work to do. And then 3 years later, the Department of Health and Human Services awarded a $3.7 million grant to the EcoHealth Alliance. And the grant was called Understanding the Risk of Coronavirus Bat Emergence. And some of those funds went to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And that was just ahead of a decision that the then Barack Obama administration made to freeze gain-of-function research. But that freeze did not end U.S. involvement. All right. So then in 2017, as the Obama administration was just before they left and Trump took over, they issued some policy guidance on potential pandemic pathogen care and oversight. And they basically created a loophole with that guidance so that scientists could work with wild viruses. And that's the loophole that health officials use to deflect attention from their own gain of function research. And this loophole is mentioned in Fauci's own diary. He said he was legally covered by this loophole, so he didn't worry about getting in trouble over his gain of function work. All right, so all of that evidence and more. I'm just giving you a few pieces of the evidence, and I'm not even going into all that Fauci wrote in his diaries. But none of that mattered. The press coverage basically framed the whole thing as Republicans are piling on without evidence, and Fauci continues this saint. So much for accountability. All right. So I read a piece, I guess this was last week, by Aaron McDonald, who writes for the conservative site The Blaze. And it hit pretty hard with me because it basically confirm things that I have been thinking. And it's basically a rallying cry. This piece was a rallying cry for conservatives to really, we actually have forsaken the public square pretty absolutely. He talks about, you know, we make fun of all these blue-haired activists who are promoting socialism in the streets. We laugh at them and we think they're ridiculous, and they are ridiculous, except that they are shaping the agenda for everything. They're shaping the agenda now for the institutions because they cared enough to start being activists and pushing their agenda and everything from local libraries to classrooms, to city councils, and all the way on up. They are the ones who are making the art. They join communities, committees, I mean. They are running all the nonprofits that use our taxpayer dollars to do who knows what. They staff all the bureaucracies that make all the regulations. They are teaching our students in schools. They are pushing policies in the schools that they want. They are setting, you know, we had the law passed several years ago on ethnic studies. These activists are the ones who are writing the curricula for ethnic studies. In some cases, and I've seen it, merging ethnic studies in with every other subject, whether it's English, math, history, art, drama, it's in everything. So the students can't even get away from it. And we're just not doing anything about this. We're just kind of laughing at it. And this is really, really dangerous. Everyone I talk to says, well, we'll hunker down. It's not really affecting us. We can kind of stay out. Well, it is affecting us. It's affecting our kids. And whatever we let happen on our watch, think of the bigger battle our kids and grandkids are going to have to fight. I mean, for all we know, our kids could be in the gulag. We might be in the gulag. I've read enough Russian literature to know how this ends. It's not an exaggeration to say that I'm pretty worried. I'm pretty worried. The socialists have, you know, they wrote a blueprint. I did a story on this, and maybe I'll review it next week on the show. But the Democratic Socialists of America wrote a blueprint for how to infiltrate teachers' unions to basically take over schools. And that was how they were going to really spread socialism throughout the country. Well, it's worked. I found that blueprint that they wrote. I think it was written in 2015. And since then, basically, it's been, and you should see a map of all the city council seats, all the school board seats, mayor seats throughout the country that they have. I mean, they've taken New York City, our most powerful city, taken it. And everyone's kind of lying down as they dox the owners of so-called pied-à-terres, so-called second homes, and a lot of them aren't second homes, as the Mamdani administration seeks to take more taxes from them. Well, and this was all because of us. It's all because of us, because we have really stepped back. I should have realized when local libraries became havens. You know, I loved going to the library as a kid. Even 20 years ago, the New York Public Library was an amazing place. Now they look like left-wing activist hubs and homeless shelters. We let that happen. We removed the libraries from the public square by not staffing the boards of trustees of the libraries. And it's just kind of gone on and on to the point where we are at a surrender. And so many of us don't go to church anymore for whatever reason. Even if we believe in God, the churches just don't do it for us. Well, churches used to be cultural centers where, you know, neighbors met and kind of decided how things were going to go in their hometown. Hospitals, hospital boards, school boards, even unions, charities, all these local organizations, they've all been taken over by activists. And so our community is in our own community. So anyway, this rant does have a point. I think all of us need to get a lot more involved. You know, we can't just pat ourselves on the back for voting anymore, although a lot of us don't even vote. But the time has passed when just a vote is enough. You know, you have to at least bring 5 other people to vote or step into the public square yourself. So all that said, a woman who's been on the show, Sonia Shaw, really has stepped up. She was just a mom in Chino. She was a native of Chino, California. She had a tough childhood. She was a soccer mom. She had 2 girls. And then she realized something was really going on when COVID came along. So she started out by just attending the school board meetings to advocate for her daughters during the school lockdowns. And then she joined up with other parents in the community and kind of created a whole movement. She became the board president of her school board by 2022, just 2 years after COVID. And as such, she really made a splash. Directed all of the ire of Rob Bonta and Gavin Newsom. They sued her when she said they weren't going to secretly trans kids anymore. She won. And since then, she decided to run for state superintendent of schools. And this was a big bright spot on the primary election day. She won many, many counties, most of the state. She won LA County, where the teachers union is one of the most powerful in the state. She won San Diego County, which is where her chief opponent, who will be facing her in the general election in November, is the school board president. She won his county. That says everything. So anyway, she is going to be in our county on August 28th for a fundraiser. This is a super winnable race. It is so winnable. But people need to gather around. I've been kind of going crazy because I talk to my friends about it, and you know, they'll they'll shell out money for concerts or whatever, but it's like, this will really make a difference for your kids. And those of us who are homeschooling really have to get behind the school system reform as well, because the state really, really, really wants to go after homeschoolers. That's because our schools are bankrupt and teachers' unions are getting frustrated, because especially in the big counties like LA, where they're just seeing this hemorrhaging of students, that means they're losing money. So they're going to come after homeschooling parents. We just got to step up. So anyway, this fundraiser is August 28th, as I said. It's from 6 to 8. It's a ranch barbecue in Cambria. And she's going to be there. You get to meet her. She's a rock star. I really believe she will be governor one day if she can get into this statewide race. She's a very impressive and charismatic person. So anyway, the fundraiser is just $40 a person if you register by August 15th. $50 a person after. That's food and a glass of wine. You can't really do that for any less right now with prices what they are. And pretty much all the money, we're just trying to get so much donated. So your money is really going to go to her campaign, wanting a ton of people there. Really, this is her one and only visit to the county. People really wanted her to come. So this is a great way to meet her. So all that said, if you want to come, just reach out to me through KPRL, through the station, or you can reach out to the San Luis Obispo Republican Party. They have all the info as well. And you can get details on how to come. So that's my little speech. All right. So next up, and I'll just do a little preview because we're going to run out of time with everything we want to discuss after the break with Greg Burt from the California Family Council. There are a few things that the state is mandating teachers to do and say that would violate anyone's beliefs if they are Christians. And plenty that parents will need to know that they can opt out of so their kids are not totally indoctrinated this next school year. So stay with us. We will be right back after these messages.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. There's still hope for negotiations with Iran. President Trump says the two sides are talking.
When we talk, we say we're talking. If we're not talking, when you ask me, no, we're not talking, I'll say it. But we are talking right now. We're talking, and we're talking at the request of Iran.
Trump speaking to reporters today from the Oval Office. The president adds this is Tehran's last chance to forge a deal and avoid further escalation of U.S. strikes against their country. Nearly 60 wildfires are raging in Washington state, many not far from Spokane. Fox Weather's Craig Herrera is there.
The air quality here is just terrible. They're asking people to stay indoors. The weather is much improved today with a lack of wind, but the relative humidity is still very low.
Almost 2 million acres have burned across the Pacific Northwest. America's listening to Fox News.
We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, locally owned by fifth generation Californian. Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles.
And welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Suzanne Luthi. So as we wait for Greg to join us, I just want to kind of intro to what we're going to be discussing today. This was a few years ago. I wrote the story as one of my first when I was at the Washington Free Beacon. So this is probably late 2022, early 2023, there was a bill proposed that did become law that would mandate so-called inclusive training for teachers on, again, quote, LGBTQ plus issues. The bill was written by Rick Zaber, who used to head up Equality California. That is the group that's behind most of the state's really radical laws, from putting boys and girls sports to the whole restroom issue to the women's prisons issue. This is the group that's behind them. He left Equality California. He's now in the state assembly. I think he represents Hollywood and Beverly Hills or something. Anyway, so he wrote this bill, and then there were kind of years that went by after it passed where it was going to be written. The training needed to be written, and I reported that the groups that were tasked with writing this training were included Equality California, of course, and what is that crazy organization that's really been pushing trans stuff? I can't quite remember. Something international. Anyway, so it was radical groups who were going to do this. So we knew the training was going to be bad. And anyway, then the training was completed, I think last summer. It's called PRISM. And teachers have been needing to take it, and they have to basically affirm everything that the training says on a test, and they have to pass this test in order to keep their jobs. The problem is this test forces them to answer questions that really would go against their beliefs and their conscience if they are Christians. And most teachers are just kind of doing what a lot of people have been doing since COVID, just doing it, complying, and calling it a day. So Greg just called in so he can tell us what comes next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. So I just did a little intro to the PRISM training for our teachers.
Right.
And noted that to pass the test to keep their jobs, they have to affirm things that would violate their beliefs and their conscience. And most teachers are just kind of doing it because they don't really know that they have options not to. But as you have pointed out, you want teachers to know that they do have options. So tell us what they can do if they don't want to take this test and training.
Right. We have to remind teachers or any California person who has religious beliefs that your employer cannot require you to do or say things that violate your faith, and that they are supposed to allow you to ask for a religious accommodation. You know, and people are more familiar with this, you know, for folks who, you know, want to have a day off for a religious service, maybe on a Sunday, and their employer is requiring them to work on a Sunday. You can ask for a religious exemption, and if your employer, if this is not going to unduly affect, you know, the operation of his business, the employer is required to provide you a religious accommodation. And so that same policy applies to training, not just training that where you have to, you know, say, hey, you know, you can be whatever gender you want. You need to tell the kids that you'll keep their new name and pronouns secret from their parents. You're going to have to affirm a kid's chosen gender identity, which is it's not just a male thinking they're a female. It's a male thinking they're two sexes at once, or maybe a fox gender, or some obscure, you know, a gender that, you know, you're half robot, half. It's all these imaginary genders that the school is saying you must affirm, and to be help for the kid to feel like he's in a welcoming, safe environment, right? But you're really lying to the kid, right? and his parents should know he's struggling. And so, but so you have a right to ask for a religious accommodation. You cannot be required to actually do these things in your classroom to these kids, nor are when you're taking a test, you can't be required to affirm something that violates your faith or makes you say something you do not believe. And that's what these tests are doing. They don't give you a test at the end of the curriculum. They actually make you answer questions throughout the curriculum. And if you don't answer the way they want, you can't go any further.
Oh, I see. I see. So have any teachers been requesting this accommodation? Do we have any data on that?
Yes. Dean Broyles with the National Center for Law and Policy down in San Diego and the Pacific Justice Institute are two Christian legal organizations who offer free legal services to teachers who want these religious accommodations. And so far, they have between 75 to 120 teachers have been exempted, and every school district that they've asked for an exemption from has granted it. No
Wow.
one said no. Some have complained, some have come back, but they've all granted some type of accommodation. Most cases, they're saying you don't have to take it. One, now this new requirement is it's for the next 5 years. Every year you have to take another course in how to accommodate LGBT cultural competency, they call it.
Right.
And so some school districts are giving a 5-year exemption. There is one or two that say it watered down the training so much that they said, okay, that's fine. You're saying certain things, and I say, yes, you said them to me, and we'll just go on. Like it was, if it was just simply informational, right, that would be different than, but this is completely indoctrinating. You must do this. You must do this. You must acknowledge this. If you don't, you'll be in trouble.
And this training started last year, correct?
It did.
Okay,
yeah.
So okay.
This will be the second year.
And are teachers required to do it every year? I know you said that.
For the next 5.
For the next 5 years, okay.
Right. It's called PRISM Training. There is a free online version you can find online. Some school districts have, you know, put together their own curriculum. They use an outside third party who puts together a PRISM training, and it's supposed to be similar to the online training, but a lot of school districts realize that this is unworkable, and so they're not doing it. So I don't know if the legislature realizes that as of yet. We just need school districts and teachers to stand up for themselves and not simply do it because their employer tells you have to.
Yes, that's interesting. Well, if I know anything about the workings of the state, Equality California will come in and do some survey of all the districts, find out which aren't doing it, and then there'll be some shaming.
There'll be shaming, but the law is on our side.
Yes.
And so these are long-established rights. You just have to ask for them.
Yes. Yes. That's one thing I really am trying to hammer home to everyone who listens and everyone I talk to, is we got to stand up for ourselves, and the days of quietly complying have got to be over, because things are getting worse and worse. And at what point will you ever say no? You know, we know enough about history to know that when power comes like this, it will only stop when you say no. So, all right. So, you mentioned that in your blog post about this law, that probably if you're a teacher in this situation, you probably don't want to oppose the training alone. You might want to get in touch with an organization pretty quickly in case of any retaliation. Can you talk about that?
Right. Yes, there have been some teachers who've done it on their own and just asked for accommodation, and they've got pushback pretty hard. And so because school districts are being told by the state that they must do this. So even the school districts are being lied to, right? But Dean Broyles with the National Center for Law and Policy and Pacific Justice Institute, what they do is they interview the teacher, they find out what their specific religious beliefs and objections are, and they write a detailed letter, right, and then lay out all the laws that mandate a religious accommodation must be provided, and then when they send that in, that's when the schools change their tune. So at this point, Dean is advising you call him up, and at his, you can look up National Center for Law and Policy, just do a Google search, and fill out a request form on his website, or call him up and say you need an exemption, and he'll direct you. So has been a great success. He's been doing this for a long time. This is what his expertise is in.
Okay. All right. So moving on, we're going to next talk about what parents have the right to do to prevent their child from being indoctrinated at school. So there are some opt-out abilities. There's a ton of stuff. The legislature has been extremely busy the last decade passing all these laws about what they want our children to be subjected to in lessons, whether it's quote-unquote inclusive storybooks or ethnic studies, sex education that really pushes them to stop believing in biological sex, DEI programming and trainings, basically attacks on marriage and traditional families. So all of this is inundating our children for 8 hours a day in various forms, and it is possible for parents to opt out. And in fact, if you really want to make it difficult for bureaucracies to function and make it difficult for all of this to work, if parents are all opting out, makes it pretty difficult pretty fast. So anyway, Greg, tell us what parents can do to start protecting their children from the craziness, because a lot of us do have children in the public schools. So what can we do?
Yeah, well, for a long time, California has told parents and schools the only thing parents can opt out of is sex ed. And it's required of all schools now. The comprehensive sex ed is required in 7th grade and 9th grade. And the only thing you can opt out of is the sexuality part of the training. All the gender identity, same-sex, anything LGBT-related information is not considered sex ed. So, there are laws requiring, you know, LGBTQ heroes in social studies curriculum, you know, starting, you know, in early elementary school. And there's all kinds of books being introduced to kids at the earliest of ages, right down to kindergarten, you know. They've been told forever that parents cannot do an opt-out. I remember there was a charter school up here in Rockland several years ago, and a parent had a son that she wanted to transition to a female in the kindergarten class, and they all read a book called I Am Jazz, which is, you know, the story of a young three-year-old who knew at that point that she was trapped on the wrong body and was trans. And then at the end of reading this book, this little boy walked into the bathroom and came out dressed like a girl. All the little kids were shocked and actually scared about you could change into a different sex without by going into a bathroom. And parents said, hey, we wanted to know about this. We wanted to opt our kid out of that. And we had a big public event at a school board meeting, and the school board refused. Well, that cannot happen anymore. There is a great Supreme Court decision last year. It was called Mahmoud versus Taylor. It was a 6-3 decision, and it was regarding similar types of books that were being given to young children in elementary school in Maryland. And these religious parents, both Muslim and Christian, filed a lawsuit and said, hey, we want to opt our kids out of this. And they said, well, no, we can't. It's too complicated, right, because this stuff is everywhere. And so when all of the Supreme Court, and here's what the Supreme Court said. It said that just because you send your kid to a private school does not mean you don't have rights to opt your kids out of things. And so any curriculum or material that substantially interferes with a child's religious development, you can opt out of.
All right, Greg, hold that thought. We're about to break for more ads, and then we'll be right back, and we'll finish this up because it's very important for everyone. So stay with us. You're listening to Free Talk California, talking with Greg Burt from California Family Council on your rights about your children's education. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages soared to kick off this new month, led by gains in big tech and a drop in oil prices. The Dow notched a record close, up 693 points, the S&P 500 climbing 110 points, and the NASDAQ rose 540 points. Shares of Meta and Nvidia popped as investor confidence recovered following strong big tech earnings from Amazon and Microsoft. Shares of Amazon jumped 5%, and it topped $3 trillion in market value. Manufacturing picked up last month more than expected. The ISM report for July came in at 55.6, the fastest pace since May of 2022. Marriott is reporting better than expected earnings, though the company says travel demand in the Middle East was impacted by the Iran conflict. That is your Fox Business Report. I'm Angelo Bavaro, invested in you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Failla, bring in authors for The Book Club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect, and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
And welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. We are discussing with Greg Burt the post-Supreme Court ruling right for parents to opt out on a lot of the myriad, very complex indoctrination attempts of our public schools on our children. So anyway, you were, let's just pick up where we left off, Greg.
Right. So the Supreme Court said any material of any kind that substantially interferes with a child's religious development or conflicts with a parent's religious training or moral convictions, a parent can opt their kid out of. Now, that is a game changer. And schools don't even know what to do that. For so long, It's been they decide what the curriculum is, and you either, if your kid's coming here, they're going to get the curriculum we give them. No longer is that true. Parents are in charge. Even, you know, and so they have to listen to parents and find a way to opt them out and give them something, you know, that's the same without the indoctrination, right? And so what we hope it happens, particularly with, you know, you see controversial curriculum that's introduced, you know, and parents protest, and they're ignored by the school. Well, parents should just opt out en masse, you know. And once you get to critical mass, especially in elementary school, on a particular set of curriculum, they're going to have to. They have nowhere to put all these kids during opt out time, so they're going to have to silo all the controversial curriculum to a single day and just have the kids whose parents don't care go to that class. And it has a huge the potential to really impact the curriculum at a particular school is huge, and it's a tool. If parents use it right, and there's stuff that's really egregious, they can change the curriculum, and the school is going to have to comply.
Yes, yes. So anyway, so there's a link, optoutca. Optoutca.org, and right. It's super simple. Can I just run through the list that you can opt your children out of? So you can opt your children out of sex education and HIV/AIDS classes, out of health behavior surveys. These are pretty invasive, as well as surveys about personal or family beliefs, any survey revealing private family information, outside mental health referrals or abortion access, state tests on personal beliefs or character traits, any statement that violates the belief that biological sex is fixed at birth, that children should not be taught sex and gender can change, that marriage is between a man and a woman, belief that God created the universe, religious views should not be called bigotry, the school should not promote witchcraft or Satanism, that yoga is a Hindu religious practice, that mindfulness meditation is a Buddhist practice, and against critical race theory and DEI. And you can basically check any of those. You don't have to check all of them. You can check any and all. And a letter will be automatically generated for a principal or a superintendent of your school. And then you can send it in. So are parents doing this? What's happening with this?
They're starting to. More and more parents are realizing that they are really in charge now, and the schools are going to have to comply. Now, some are going to resist, and that's when it's good to have some of these Christian attorney organizations behind you. If you're looking for some of those, we actually have on our CaliforniaFamily.org website, a parental rights resources page. It also has a link to the opt-out form that we just told you about, or the organizations doing those opt-out forms. But you can also contact National Center for Law and Policy. They have their own opt-out form. Pacific Justice Institute has an opt-out form. So there's various organizations out there that have them. And the thing is, we just got to get parents doing it now. And if your kid is being fed this kind of thing at school and you know it's causing him harm and you don't want him to be confused, opt them out. Opt them out.
Yep, yep. All right. Well, speaking of something that we probably can't opt out of, but there are ways to influence it. A law that just came into effect to establish mixed-sex bathrooms on school campuses K through 12. So, Greg, walk us through this in our last few minutes.
Right. So this bill was introduced a couple years ago. I testified against it. I said, hey, there's no problem with a single-sex bathroom or multi-sex bathrooms that are single stall, right? It actually provides more safety for kids. and you know, in proxy. But what's happening is they're really pushing all gender, multi-stall bathrooms. They've already done it here at the Capitol. You know, kids are going on field trips all the time here at the Capitol. They've changed two of the bathrooms on each side of the dome into all gender bathrooms. So they just, on the male bathroom, they just slapped an all gender bathroom sign on it, and you walk right in and you see urinals right there with the stalls. So we're talking about adults going in there, males using the urinals while your little daughter goes in on the field trip, right? It's almost like we're moving towards erasing the whole idea that gender, there are two separate sexes, and that privacy among the two sexes is starting to go away, and all in the name of making kids who are confused about their gender comfortable. And so every school district is going to have to decide whether they want a multi-stall. They'll have to have a gender-neutral bathroom, K through 12 schools. They either have to have a single stall or a multi-stall. So each school district will decide for themselves whether they want to just simply turn in the nurses' bathroom, which always needs to be open, has to be full of stock with female products, that has to be open to boys and girls, or simply change one of their multi-stall bathrooms into an all-gender bathroom. And so each district will have to decide for themselves. So I'm assuming, since this bill went into effect last month, that the decision has already been made. But, you know, it's up to each school board to make how they're going to implement this law. So parents, call up your schools and find out what they're doing, how they're going to implement this, because it's not going to make bathrooms any safer to put boys and girls together.
No.
I went to public school, and the bathroom was always the most dangerous place on campus. It's a place that teachers didn't want to go, and there's a closed door, and if there's a bully, he's going to hide in the bathroom and wait for vulnerable kids to come in and to get away with it without anybody watching. Well, what do you think is going to happen when the boys go into the girls' bathroom?
Yeah.
Girls aren't going to want to go in there anymore.
Yeah. That's already happening in some of the schools that have implemented this. I've heard stories of kids holding it so they don't have to go, and real problems. And I can't believe there hasn't been a lawsuit about it yet. Is there any in the works?
I've heard of lawsuits in like Virginia. There's actually an assault happened in a bathroom. A transgender kid who was a male was in the female bathroom, sexually assaulted a young girl, and the parents are now suing for millions because the school covered it up and actually took that male trans child and put them in a different school. And didn't prosecute. Why parents, this is where you see the trend. You go into the state, actually, the Department of Ed has a website and just talks about how much more healthier it is for, you know, to have gender neutral bathrooms and not separate people by sex. Right.
Says who? I decided that was healthier.
Right. This is the new trend. And, it is really erasing. You see it happening. If gender is something you get to pick based on your feelings, then sex, the difference between the sexes are like meaningless.
Right.
The words male and female are meaningless. If everybody can slap that label on themselves, then what are we separating bathrooms for?
Right. Right.
The whole idea of biological sex is disappearing.
Right. Right. Systematically throughout every bit of our laws.
Yeah, there are very aggressive. I mean, you can see it in all these stories I'm doing. It's everywhere. And you take a poll and we're all against it. We're all
complying.
There's nothing we can do. That's just
enough. Exactly. Well, thanks so much, Greg, for coming back. Thanks to all of you for listening. I thought that hour would go by very quickly, and it did. If you want to learn more, get in touch with Greg. Go to California Family Council. Yes, do what you can. The time, as I said, is past when we can't do any, when we don't have to do anything but vote. We've got to start taking stands. So We'll see you next week.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.